This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, it's Paul from Saturday Magazine, and we are currently celebrating Joy Radiothon 2023. Not only are you getting a fabulous week of amazing community-driven content, but we're also giving away a key during each and every program that could be your chance to unbolt the vault for major prizes. Simply rejoin or renew your membership or contribute $50 or more to enter. The prizes on offer this year include $5,000 worth of cosmetic skin treatments, thanks to Celluderm Skin Aesthetics, a stunning original Indigenous art piece, thanks to Andy K Art, and a return airfare for two with 13 nights accommodation to New York, thanks to United Airlines, Voco Hotels and Selina Hotels. This is Joy Radiothon 2023 running now right the way through until Friday, May the 5th. And the Unvault the Bolt permit number is 101-3123.
For all voices, this is Joy.
You're on Saturday Magazine with me, Nevena and Macca on this very special Radiothon episode.
Yeah. And we've got some,
just before we start, Macca, one thing we should have done in the first 15 minutes of Sat Mag is to say the person who won the key to the vault.
That won the key that might unvault the vault.
You get to go to the prize draw.
Yeah.
Is Michael Sinclair. So, Michael, you are the key winner.
Oh, Mike Sinclair.
Unbolt the Vault for Joy Weekend Breakfast.
He donated too.
Yeah. So, thank you, Michael. You are the key winner for the Unbolt the Vault competition.
Fantastic.
So, there'll be a big party here at the VPC, and you'll be invited with your key to see if you can unbolt the vault.
Wow. So, we've got some more donations here. $1,000.
Wow, Macca, get your purse strings loose.
I'll tell you what, thank God I get frequent flyer points. From Laurie in Toorak, thank you so much, Laurie. From Peter in WA, $500.
Wow, thank you, Peter.
And, Nevena in Preston.
Yes, I was just matching a donation.
I wonder who that was.
Because Nevena is people that Nevena has harassed and tried to extort money from, she's matching some of their donations, so that's really good. We have here a membership sign-up and a donation from Michelle. Thank you so much, Michelle. Another $25 from Dennis, another donation. Thank you, Dennis. That's really appreciated. And a membership sign-up and $116 donation from Meredith. I don't know if it's a town. Anyway, Meredith. Thank you, Meredith. Thank you so much. Dennis, that's the other one you matched, isn't it? $25. Actually, that's repeated, that one. What's going on? Then donor, and I can't pronounce that. From Sabina.
That's from Sabina. Yate Yubimfala, Sabina.
Sabina, $100.
Wow.
Thank you, Sabina. And a membership sign up. Oh, well, hang on. And a donation of $1,500.
Who's that come from?
From Adrian in Victoria. Thank you, Adrian.
You legend.
$1,500. Now, our next guest is on the line, and Nevena's going to talk to him because I actually need to have a wee. Bear with me.
Kieran is on the line.
Kieran, you're on Saturday Magazine with me, Nevena. Mac is just taking a wee. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well this morning. We're very excited to have you on. So Kieran is a senior lawyer at the Human Rights Law Centre, and we're doing a slight shift of pace. We're going to be talking about whistleblowing and data protection. So Kieran, can you tell us, starting with whistleblowing, what is happening in this space at the moment, and why is this at the top of the news?
I feel bad for bringing down the tone on such an exciting morning. Unfortunately, in Australia, whistleblowers are being punished rather than protected. We see that most acutely with the two ongoing prosecutions. We have Richard Boyle, who blew the whistle on wrongdoing at the tax office. He's on trial for speaking up in the public interest. And David McBride, who exposed allegations of war crimes by Australian forces in Afghanistan. Unfortunately, the government has refused to intervene and discontinue those cases while at the same time moving unnecessarily slowly on important whistleblower protection reform. Got a lot to be done, but those two cases particularly are really disappointing and undermine whistleblowing in this country.
And what are the reforms that we're needing at the moment that the government isn't budging on? And what do you think is really holding up this process?
The government's committed to whistleblowing reform. Unfortunately, the first tranche of that was supposed to pass the Senate last month, but that's been delayed. Hopefully it'll come in next month. But really, those are minor technical changes. What we need is more comprehensive reform so that Australian whistleblowers are truly protected, not punished for doing the right thing. You know, any of us could see some wrongdoing at work and decide to speak up about that. And in doing that, we're making Australia a better place. But the laws and the structures around that at the moment just don't provide true protection. So one of the major things we're asking for is a whistleblower protection authority. So in many other countries, there are independent institutions that protect and empower whistleblowers that oversee these laws and enforce these laws. But in Australia, we have nothing like that. So that really needs to be established. Really disappointingly, a whistleblower protection commissioner was part of the crossbench proposal for a national anti-corruption commission. So it would sit alongside the NAC. And the government committed to a NAC model that would be almost identical to the crossbench model. But unfortunately, a whistleblower protection commissioner was not in the government's ultimate bill. So we said that as missing the sort of the unfinished business of the integrity agenda, and we're really hoping that the government will move on that.
Because it's not just whistleblowing at these highest levels. There's different types of whistleblowing. Could you talk us through that and talk us through the different varieties of whistleblowing and why it's so important?
Well, I mean, any of us could become a whistleblower if we see something wrong at work. Of course, these high-profile cases where people have gone to the media, get lots of attention, but there are many cases on a day-to-day level where someone sees something wrong at work, goes to their boss, and unfortunately all too often is punished as a result. And the laws, almost every Australian worker is covered by whistleblower protection laws of different varieties that say if you speak up about wrongdoing, you're protected and you shouldn't be punished for that. But we know that in practice that's not happening, and partly just because, as I mentioned, that lack of support. It's as simple as this. I think, you know, if tomorrow you were to see wrongdoing at work, where would you go? If in other areas, if you're being underpaid at work, you can go to the Fair Work Ombudsman. If you're being discriminated against or sexually harassed at work, you can go to the Human Rights Commission at a federal or state level. We need structures and institutions like that to protect and empower whistleblowers, given their important democratic role they play in this country.
And is there a sense that because of the difficulty of whistleblowing in this country and because of these two very prominent cases that it might deter people from taking these kind of actions? Is that a sense that you get?
Yeah, I think there's a huge chilling effect that the current prosecutions and the ongoing delays in whistleblower protection reform is having. These cases are alarming examples of people who were trying to do the right thing. So Richard Boyle was working at the tax office, grew really concerned about unethical debt recovery practices where the tax office was ignoring taxpayers, small business owners who had mental health issues, were experiencing suicidal ideation, were fleeing domestic violence situations, and yet the tax office was garnishing tax debts from their bank accounts, often without warning. That's an alarming use of coercive power that's deeply unethical. And ultimately, several independent reviews have found that what he blew the whistle on was occurring and needed to change. But no one listened to him internally. And so he went to the oversight body, no one listened, and ultimately he went to the media. And I don't think anyone would suggest that there was no public interest in what he did, except he's now on trial for doing the right thing and speaking the truth. And that has a chilling effect. I hear that anecdotally. It's borne out in the data we have. If you see whistleblowers being prosecuted for doing the right thing, you're going to think twice before you speak up. So that's why know, we're calling on the government to fix the law and to establish the structures that are necessary, but the first step has to be to drop these cases.
And on a slightly different bent, a lot of people have been, myself included, impacted by our data falling victim to various different organisations, to cyber criminals. The Human Rights Law Centre is calling on the federal government to embrace some proposed reforms to better protect people's privacy. How can we do this, Kieran?
So Australian privacy law is no longer fit for purpose. It was established before the sort of rapid technological age we now live in, and it's just been amended with piecemeal reform from time to time. Mm. That needs to change. We're currently in the middle of a major reform process where there's been proposals for really widespread reform to bring our privacy system up to a sort of a technological standard. I think it's important to underscore that privacy is a human right. It's not some nice to have, it's an essential. And when we see all of these cases of data breaches, that's companies not protecting our human rights and a legal system that doesn't enable proper accountability for that. So, privacy reform is long overdue. It's good that the government is moving on it, but we really need to see robust and innovative reform. And there are good examples. The EU has been at the forefront of reform in this area. In the US, in California, there's some good examples. But we need to start in Australia taking privacy more seriously because it's a human right that belongs to all of us.
And Kieran, just in wrapping up, part of what is so risky about this is that so much of our lives is now online. Children have phones, children have iPads, laptops, computers, grandparents. Everyone is connected to a piece of technology, but it's not necessarily that we're protected from those risks.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why this reform is so critical, because we all rely on technology to live our lives, and including, vulnerable members of society, kids who are getting on iPads from a young age, their privacy is being intruded upon, and we don't have laws and systems that are available to deal with that. So, that needs to change. Another area, the rise of facial recognition technology. Mm. So, supermarkets, Bunnings are using facial recognition. Police are using facial recognition to sort of search for people. A technology that just wasn't imagined when our privacy laws were enacted that poses real threats to our human rights. And so reform is urgent. No one's saying that these technological advances are not important and in many cases useful. No one's suggesting that we go back to the Stone Age. We just need a legal system that properly regulates, that ensures that the use of these intrusions on our privacy are only done when it's necessary and proportionate, and we have robust safeguards and oversight and accountability when things go wrong.
And Kieran, to put you on the spot now, are you a member of Joy?
I'm not. I'm not based in Melbourne, but I've heard great things about it. All of my colleagues at the Human Rights Law Centre are huge fans. So, keep up the great work.
Fantastic. We've been speaking with Kieran Pender, Senior Lawyer at the Human Rights Law Centre, about some really important call for reforms in the whistleblowing and data protection area. Kieran, thank you very much for joining us on Saturday Magazine.
Thanks. Really appreciate it.
You're on Saturday Magazine with Nevena and Macca. Stay with us. There's a lot more coming up.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.